Today, we want to examine some ways in which Israel is used, or we can see it used at least, as a picture in the New Testament. And so we want to see why Israel and things that were told to Israel, things that Israel was instructed to do, or that were said about Israel, that were known about Israel, that were known about the God of Israel, can be a help to us. And they're brought up in the New Testament. And particularly in the context we're going to look at today, we want to address how the nation of Israel is being used. In Ephesians chapter 2, we find some key thoughts for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we use verses 8 and 9 to explain the concept of salvation by grace through faith. You'll find we use it all the time, and as we ought to. And we insist, because this passage insists, that salvation is not by works. So we use this passage, this at least a piece of this chapter, all the time. We, based on this passage, call salvation a free gift, because that's what this passage calls salvation. We see our responsibilities to some degree in this passage, to walk according to God's commands, because we're his workmanship. And we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We have some really important things that are foundational for our belief as New Testament Christians that we find in Ephesians chapter 2. It's a chapter where we see the mercy of God. We see the love of God. Right at the beginning of the passage, we'll see those things mentioned. The grace of God, the kindness of God, all of that mentioned in this passage. And I just want to ask this question. Do we also see Israel? I don't think I'd probably be teaching on this in Lessons from Israel if we didn't see Israel. Do we see Israel? Actually, Israel, the nation of Israel, plays a or has a key part in one section of this passage. And it's something we might not think about. And so I want to ask, as we look at that this morning, why is that the case? Why is that the case? So let's approach this passage, just the beginning of it here, and see if we can find out. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." There was a time before we were made alive in Christ that we walked in what could be called a common way, right? Sort of the typical way. It's the way everyone else seems to be walking. In fact, it says here we walked in the way the world walked, basically. It was a lifestyle that it says here the disobedient still have. They're still walking in. And it's a path that was determined by our own flesh. It seems that we took each step based on the desires of our flesh. Now, you may say, well, no, that's not exactly true, because people often do things that they don't want to do and they don't desire to do, because after all, they get up in the morning, right, and they don't want to. right? It's not according to the desires of their flesh. Well, that's not exactly what it's talking about. It's talking more about the ends that you have are fleshly ends, right? It's more talking about that. Of course, a person doesn't do every single thing that their flesh desires. Hopefully, we, before we knew Christ, didn't do everything that our flesh desired. You know, if we got angry with somebody, we just went ahead and punched them. You know, it's not exactly talking about that. It's talking more about the fact that we lived with the end in mind being a fleshly or worldly end. So we took steps based on the desires of the flesh. The steps we were taking along the way were just getting us to a place that our flesh desired. And there may have been some sacrificial steps along the way. There may have been some difficult steps on the way. There may have been some times when we went against the desires of our flesh at any given moment. But the end was a fleshly end. It says that's the way that it used to be. It's a common way. It's the common way. It wasn't a life set apart for God in any real way. Even those who believe in God, often they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, have a fleshly end that just has the word God sort of in it. We could go through some examples of that, but I won't take time this morning. In essence, it's the life we wanted. It's the life we wanted. We may not always get the life we want, but we have a desire to have a certain kind of life, and we move in a direction to get that kind of life. It's the same way others are walking. It says here, it's the same way others are walking. We were at that time, when we were walking in this fleshly path, at that time we were not a part of God's family. I'd already said we were not set apart for God in any way at that time. We were outsiders. We were on a broad road. We were not on the narrow road that the Bible talks about. So we were not set apart. Let's go down to verse 4. This is always a great phrase. Scripture, it's like you always make note of it. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There's some great things in here. Great things. The one I thought of immediately is just that God intervened. Right, so we're on this path. It's a pretty common path. It doesn't look too much different than the path that everyone else around us is on. And then there comes a point when God intervenes. That's what it outlines here. He provides mercy. He provides mercy because he loves us, it says here. He was rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. We're still dead at that time. And we're walking in this certain way. And then God steps in. He grants mercy and he makes us alive through Christ. And he did it by grace. And then I think you could say, he puts us on a path that is not common, right? It's not like the world around us. So before we're on this kind of common path, and now God puts us on an uncommon path. And not only that, we become part of something. We have in common with others that are on the same path this Savior and this way of living that's uncommon. So we're part of something, and as it said here, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness, that's in ages to come. We also have a future, and God has a plan for our future. So there's a lot that's happening here. When we come by faith to know Christ as Savior, we're taken off this common path. We're put on an uncommon path. We're put on that path with another group of people that we have something in common with. And we're all moving toward a future, toward an end. That's what's happened because of salvation. We're walking in this way so that we can do something. It says here, to show forth his rich grace and his kindness. You know, there's something that Dr. Olala always says on the radio. We produce these programs for Dr. Olala, and there's something that he talks about all the time. And that is what it means to glorify God. And he says to glorify God is to reflect his communicable attributes in the world. It's essentially what this says. That he is going to do something through us. Meaning the word reflect is there for a reason, right? It's not that we're going to do something that glorifies God. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be reflecting God's attributes, because he says we're going to be saved, and then what's going to happen? He is going to show his exceeding riches, the riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So we have a part in that, but and certainly we're going to see some more about our responsibilities. We have a lot of them. But he is going to show something in his salvation through us, but also in what happens next. But we're going to live in a way now, coming to know him, that's no longer our way, but that is his way. That's our responsibility now. To live in a way that's no longer our way, but that is his way. And this way of living for him is going to glorify him. I'm going somewhere with this in regard to Israel. Let's go to verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, in that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God has started to do something in us, and God has in mind a completion of work that he wants to do in us. And it's going to require a different walk. It's really going to require a different walk for us. And this new way of living is by faith. It's salvation by faith. And ultimately, it's going to be a lifestyle, a walk of faith. A lifestyle of faith, a walk of faith. You could call it either one of those things. Grace is provided to us, as it said here. It's provided to us as a gift, and we accept that gift, and we begin living in a way that God intended, and we do the kind of works that God intended for us to do, because we're his at that point. And now, it says here, once we have come to know him by faith, we are acting as the people that God created us to be. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, and then we're going to walk in them, and we're going to be who God created us to be. And what's more, we have fellowship with those who are living in the same way. So there's a lot happening at salvation here. There's one who also lived by faith. And he's used as an example for us. And he's mentioned for us in Hebrews chapter 11, along with a number of other people. And I want to go back to his story for a minute, because we're trying to connect Israel. We'll start to see our connection with Israel here in kind of a sense and a substance. Hebrews 11, I just want to read this for you, because we're going to go back to our passage in Ephesians in a moment. But I just want to read this for you. It says in verse 8 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. You could read that story in Genesis 12, and you could come to the conclusion that God intervened in somebody's life. And by faith, he obeyed. So Abram's journey, it's called Abraham here, but that time, Abram's journey started much like ours. You know, when we start our journey of salvation, talk to somebody who's been saved recently, and they will feel this way. We don't know exactly where we're going. We don't. If you talk to somebody who gets saved, they're kind of like, what do I do next? I'm not exactly sure what to do next. Well, what happened in the life of Abram is that he just took the next step God wanted for him, and he trusted in the one who was calling him to go. And you know that we can tell that to believers, new believers in Christ. Just take the next step. Let's trust God together. I don't know where you're going exactly either, but I know God does. So his journey started not in a way that is unlike our journey, not knowing where it would lead, but having faith in the one that called. Verse 9 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was living in kind of an uncommon way, wasn't he? He's sojourning in a strange country. He's dwelling in structures that aren't permanent. And he's going about certainly in a way that he wasn't going about before. He's living in a bit of an uncommon way, but he's looking forward to a future with God. He's looking forward to the promises that God has given him being fulfilled. Verse 11 of Hebrews 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. We have them both doing this same basic thing here, because Abram takes some steps in his life to get outside what he knows, and he takes some steps that are difficult and scary and hard and unknown, and the only thing that he has to trust is the God that's given him the instructions to do it. Sarah, in much the same way here, says she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. And as the promise came to Abraham, during that time that his descendants would be as many as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the shore, says that's exactly what happened in the life of these two people, Abraham and Sarah. So Sarah walked by faith also, judging him faithful who had promised, and the promises were fulfilled. We have many promises from God. And if you talk to someone who's walked with God for a period of time, they can no doubt relate to you how the promises of God have worked themselves out in their lives. Is that not true? We every week we do an interview for the radio with somebody from in the church. And pastor will just ask them to start telling their stories. And then they'll ask him a couple of follow-up questions, a few more details. What inevitably happens is you see believers in Christ who have come to him in faith and maybe didn't know where they were going to go at that point. You see them begin this walk by faith and begin to move ahead in faith and be obedient. And you begin to see, and they might have known that they might not have known at that time that these promises were even given to them or available to them. And you see the promises of God being fulfilled about how he'd never leave them and never forsake them and how he would lead them and guide them and care for them and give them grace when they needed grace day by day. You see all of that happening. And you see the promises of God being fulfilled. That was exactly what happened with Abraham and with Sarah. Promises being fulfilled. And then back in the context of Hebrews for a minute, then we'll get back to Ephesians. Talks about those that were listed before as well. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. They didn't see all the promises that we see, because we're in a position, Hebrews talks about us being in a better position to see the whole thing now. We certainly are. There's no doubt. We're thankful to have a record of all that has taken place with that one perfect, sinless sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can look back and see what happened with him. But what they were confident of is they were looking ahead to that promise that they would be with God. And it said that he had prepared for them a city. So those who live by faith were looking toward a future that only God could provide. But they walked in what could be called, what could only be called a strange way in the world that they were in at that time. It says they walked as strangers and pilgrims. They were set apart from the world around them, and the reason they were is because of their walk of faith. They were at that time not taking actions based on their own desires. I don't know what Abram's desires were before God intervened. I'm not sure. I don't know. But one thing I know is when God intervened, he walked by God's desires for him. They obeyed God, believing the promises of God. Just a couple more verses in Hebrews, and then we'll get back to Ephesians. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. I find that's an interesting turn of phrase that is in there. He, having received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. promise, of course, that there would be a long lineage for Abraham, and that in him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed, looking forward to that Messiah that would come. That even that this child that would come from his lineage would even be a light unto the Gentiles. So it's interesting that that was said in that way. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Even in these moments of faith trial, when the commands didn't make sense, Abraham was obedient. There's this math term in here. It's almost as though Abraham had done the math and he had accounted that God was able, and then he proceeded accordingly. But he had accounted that God was able. Well, what does this have to do with where we are in Ephesians? Let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Start back in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. Now, I want to stop there just for a second, because remember where we were. We were in a place where we said, okay, the grace of God was given to us. God intervenes. He shows us that there is grace, and we have faith in him, and we're changed forever. We're transformed. We're quickened, as it said earlier in the passage. We're changed. It's like New Testament 101, right? This is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it starts talking about you were in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision. Now we got all kinds of Jewish stuff going on here. All kinds of Israel taking place. Which were called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We were what? What were we before Christ? Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel? But we don't talk about that too much. They're not the first words that spring to mind when we start talking about our salvation testimony, that we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We speak more about our bondage to sin and our deliverance. We would maybe even think more about the time, we would maybe see it in a picture this way, the time when Israel was in bondage and then they were brought out. But it says you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. This passage seems to bring the nation of Israel to the top of our minds. And it uses Israel as a picture, a figure of things we embrace in Christ today. That were first present in Israel, or that were first seen, that were first pictured, that we had a vision of in Israel. We've talked about at least three of them already. At least three of them. We talked about faith. Faith. Trusting God enough to live in the way he chooses. We talked about faith. This is pictured in Israel. We've taught on Galatians in this class before, but if you were to go to Galatians, he encourages the Galatians to remember that Abraham was justified by faith. We've also seen that Israel was a unit. I was just going to use the word family. They were set apart from the world, and yet unified in a lot of ways in their uncommon life. Faithful to him. Faith, family, also something that's been talked about in this passage and also in the Hebrews passage, a future. Knowing that there is something beyond because God has promised. So when we look at our New Testament understanding, where do we first see the picture? Why is it even giving us, you are strangers from the commonwealth of Israel? Because of the picture that God has given in Israel. These are just three, okay? There's many, many more. Hopefully we'll get to them as we go through this series. But faith, of family, of the future. And we have all these things in Christ. Let's think about the ways in which Israel was different than the world around them. I don't have much time, but I want to take a little. Different than the world around them because they were not without God in the world. Did you notice what it said about us? We were strangers from the commonwealth of Israel. We were without God in the world. Well, Israel was not without God in the world. I thought of that as I was going through. There was at least one testimony that I thought of sprang to mind instantly regarding Israel not being without God in the world. We find it in the book of Joshua. People of Israel were preparing to enter the land of promise, and they had sent spies into Jericho, and they lodged with one Rahab, and she had an interesting testimony about Israel. She said, Israel is not without God in the world. Listen to what she said. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You are not without God in the world. The nations around, they're wandering on a common path. They're on a path, seemingly all together, doing the same thing, following after a fleshly end, going all together to a fleshly and a worldly destination, and they are without God in the world. And here we are in Jericho without God in the world, and we've looked and we've seen the testimony of the people of Israel. And what we've noticed is that you are not without God in the world. Matter of fact, God is taking direct and specific and deliberate action on your behalf. Folks, we are not without God in the world. To observe the history of Israel is to observe that people are not without hope. It's to see a people walking in a certain way because of a certain kind of God. We're going to see that. They are walking in a certain way because they have a certain kind of God, the same God that we serve today. We see a nation that is something that it said in Ephesians for us, nigh to God. Isn't that a great picture? Nigh to God. It's as though God is there and I'm able to come close, right? That's a great picture. When we observe Israel, we're observing him. the way in which he is chosen to do his work in the world through Israel. And Jesus Christ did the same for us, made us nigh unto God. He brought us into God's family. He's given us a future. It's far beyond the sort of base things of this world. He's given us an eternal hope. An eternal hope. It's, you know, it's the same hope that Abram had, although he didn't see it clear. He saw it afar off. We see it clear. That's a wonderful thing. Back to Ephesians, just verse 14 through 18, if we can get through it. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. We could spend all day talking about the state of war that has been eliminated because of Christ between man and God. Verse 16, let's just continue. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We see in Jesus Christ this one perfect, spotless Lamb, this sacrifice that could make all that was wrong right. And those in Israel were looking forward to that time where all that was wrong could be made right. And we're here, we have it. He has made those of us who were outsiders, insiders. Solving our sin problem, giving us an eternal home, making us part of his family. A few more verses, and we'll finish this chapter, Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Now, don't get the strangers and foreigners confused. We have Israel being strangers and foreigners. We have Abraham being strangers and foreigners, but that's in the world. What it's talking about here is you're no more strangers and foreigners in God's world, in his kingdom. But you're fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Whoa, wait, here we have it again. Israel factors in. It says, you're built upon the foundations of the apostles, okay, that makes sense, and the prophets. That's Old Testament Israel. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's a great verse as well. We're now part of a heritage. We're part of a heritage. What a wonderful heritage. We're the people of God. Now, let's not get confused about our history and the divisions of history. We'll talk a lot about that as we go forward. But we do have a history of the working of God through Israel. And that history is one we can call upon that is ours now. But here's the great thing about it. It says here that he is the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Nothing could have been built. Nothing is built, either in Israel or in our New Testament church era, without the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the picture that you give us from your Old Testament saints who really help us with so many things, give us so many good examples and patterns and principles that we can live by, and help us to remember the fact that we're not without God in the world, and that your works can be shown in a mighty way through our testimony. And help us to do that even today as we get together to fellowship and rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen.